The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities. You're listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win with David Hayes. David has been providing financial advice for over 25 years and is the host of Your Money with David Hayes radio show and podcast. He has been featured in high-level publications such as the Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger's, Fox Business, Forbes, and more. Join your host as he talks about his book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, an Amazon Daily bestseller. And now, here's David Hayes.
Welcome to podcast number 12 of 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Of course, 2025, The Final Drive is the metaphor on my football playing and coaching days. Time is ticking. Time is running out. The time to go is now. The 2017 tax cuts are set to expire at the end of 2025, giving us a real opportunity to act now and save ourselves from taxes destroying our retirement accounts before taxes go up for good. All right, today's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about risk management and one of the most sacred tax laws out there, codes out there, however you want to put it. And yes, I'll talk about that in just a second. But let's talk about risk, because when it comes to risk, there's only a few things you can do about it. You can accept it. If it happens, it happens. That's the way most of us live our lives. You can avoid it. Stay inside, right? Don't go around people, whatever. I don't want to get that virus. You can avoid it. That's not always practical. Or you can transfer it. I don't want the risk. You take it. And that's what we do most of the time, especially when it comes to insurance. We don't want our house to burn down, but we buy homeowners insurance. We don't want to wreck our cars or be hit, but we have car insurance. So we have transferred that risk to the insurance companies, right? What about life insurance? When it comes to life insurance, what do we have it for? We have it for dying too young. We want to pay off our debts. We want to complete our plan, like educating our kids or funding our retirement goals. But most people, when they get older, they say, I don't really need life insurance. All my debts are paid off. My kids are raised. I'm retired. Why do I need life insurance? Well, need is a big word. Need. Like, what do you need it for, right? I say that to my son all the time. What do you need that for? In fact, I was looking at our credit card bill last night. And yes, we still allow him to buy his gas and a few other miscellaneous items on the credit card. But when you add things up, it adds up to a lot. So I just breached the conversation by saying, why do you need to order DoorDash? Why do you need to go to whatever? And he's like, well, I don't need to, but it's just convenient. Well, that's a need, right? Needs and wants are different. But should is a different word. Should you have life insurance? That's a great question. Well, let's talk about what the benefits are of having life insurance. Number one, it's tax-free. The death benefit, tax-free. It can be used to pay income taxes on those taxable accounts. So you've let that tax-deferred account go. You pass away. Your heirs now have to take the money out. They pay taxes at their rate, at an unknown rate in the future. But now I have a big pile of tax-free death benefit money that I can use to pay the tax. That's one thing you can do with it. Tax-free death benefit can be used to create a wonderful legacy, right? By leaving tax-free money to your beneficiaries, leaving your taxable accounts maybe to charity. A tax-free benefit can be used to pay federal estate tax, fund a business continuation plan, or maybe pay off a sibling share of that farm. There's just a lot of practical uses for life insurance, lots of them. In my 28 years in practice and thousands of client meetings, I've never had a beneficiary sitting in my office after their mom, dad, husband, or wife passed away with life insurance and say, "Why did my dad have so much life insurance?" That doesn't happen. They're like, "Man, it's incredible, right? All this money's coming in 2 weeks. I get my death certificate. I send it in. I get the money. It's that easy?" Yes, it's that easy. That's life insurance. So let's talk about the different types of life insurance. It really boils down to two types, term and cash value, or maybe term and permanent. Term insurance, that is for a specific term. It can be annual renewable term. It could be for a specific term, like 10 years, 20, 30 year term, where it's level, pretty cheap, pretty easy to get, right? But less than 1% of all term policies actually result in death claim. That may be why it's so cheap. That comes from LIMRA. But permanent insurance is there when you need it the most, and that's when you die. It's because it's permanent. One of the most popular policies is called an indexed universal life. It's built on an annual renewable term chassis. The interest credits are tied to the market. Like any asset, it needs to be monitored annually and managed properly. But it is a really cool policy. So let's talk about that. You put the money in. If the stock market does well, you get a good interest credit. If it doesn't do well or goes down, you don't lose any money. They just pull the cost of the insurance out, and then you go on to another year. And there's a lot of ways to fund it. You can fund it over a specific period of time, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, lifetime. You can do a lump sum. Whatever you want to do, you can fund it in a variety of ways. But what are the uses for this, right? Why would I want to do that? Especially if I'm retired, right? I don't have any debts. My kids are raised. I'm already retired. Why in the world do I need life insurance? Well, let's discuss some of the tax-free benefits of life insurance. Number one, tax-free accumulation of cash value. So here's how this works. You put money into a life insurance policy. You keep putting it in. Maybe let's just use the example you're putting it in forever until you retire. I'm putting in money every single month. It's growing. I have this death benefit. And when I retire, I can use the cash value for tax-free income. So the first thing that comes out when you decide to take money out is what you've put in. So all of your premiums that you'd paid in is considered your basis. Well, that comes out first, tax-free. You've already paid tax, right? You paid tax, you put it in, it grew tax-free. Now you're pulling out what you put in, so you don't have to pay tax on that. It's kind of like a Roth IRA. And then second, once you get to the gains, that's where it becomes a little bit tricky. Then you begin to borrow against it. So when you borrow against your cash value, the insurance company says, okay, you had $100,000 of gain in this contract. You have $200,000 of cash value. The first 100 is what you put in, so you take that out tax-free. The next 100, you're going to have to borrow it out. Well, they won't give you all of it. That makes no sense because you must die with the policy intact for it to be tax-free. So they'll loan you about 90% of it. But anyway, you take the money out as a loan, and loans are never taxable. If you went to a bank and got a loan, it would not be taxable. Well, borrowing from the insurance company is no different. You're just borrowing against your cash value. So it is completely tax-free. Now, there is a little bit of a risk there. Some companies will give you an interest credit and then also have a loan interest payment or a loan interest rate. And the loan interest rate might be higher than the interest credit. Well, if that's the case, you could get squeezed to the point where your cash value goes to zero. The policy lapses. And when it lapses, it's like a 401k loan. If you have a 401k loan and you leave your company and you say, "I'm not going to pay it back," it's considered a default. And then all of that loan becomes taxable. Well, the same thing's true with life insurance. If the policy lapses, then the cash loan value goes, boom, taxable, bang, it's all taxable. So you have something called a loan squeeze that can occur with some companies. So I caution folks, when you borrow money as a way of creating tax-free income in retirement, make sure that your policy has something called a zero-cost loan or a swap rate, which indicates that the interest on the borrowed money is never greater than the credit that you received on the cash value. So the credit will never be lower than the cost of the money. It's called a zero cost loan. Now, how do you keep it tax free? Well, there has to be a corridor between the cash value and the death benefit. And it's pretty standardized across the industry. In other words, you can't have $90,000 of cash and $100,000 of death benefit at age 50 years old, and that be considered a real life insurance policy. At that point, it becomes what they call a MEC, a modified endowment contract, which is similar to an annuity. So then becomes not taxed like life insurance, but taxed like an annuity, which we discussed this earlier in one of the podcasts, that typically that's last in, first out, which means it's all taxable. So you don't want to create that. You want to make sure it is a legitimate life insurance contract. So every company can run those illustrations that say, what's the minimum amount of death benefit that I need to keep this as a life insurance contract? Because the idea, if you're using it for tax-free income in retirement, is that you put the most cash you can in with the least amount of death benefit, because the only thing you're paying for is the difference between the cash and the death benefit. So if I have a $100,000 policy and I have $50,000 of cash in there and I die, yeah, my beneficiaries get $100,000, but 50 of it's my money. They're only paying insurance costs on $50,000. And if it's built on an annual renewable term chassis, then whatever it costs to be 50 years old and have $50,000 of life insurance, that's the cost of having the contract. Or if you're 60 or you're 70, it doesn't matter. The older you get, the more it costs, but you want to pay that cost on the least amount of insurance as possible. Here's a real life example, a couple of different ideas. I had a gentleman who was remarried. He had children from his first marriage. They were older. And he said, hey, when I pass away, I want to make sure my kids from marriage number one receive this $2 million so they don't have to sit here and wait around for stepmom to die to get their money. So we were able to put $500,000 currently into an index universal life policy, which is one of the most popular policies out there. Again, built on a annual renewable term policy. Your index credits are tied to the market. If the market goes down, you don't lose anything. Very, very popular. There's a lot of it. There's whole life, variable life. There's all kinds of things, but the index universal life tends to be the most popular, easy to understand. So we put the $500,000 in. It bought $2 million of life insurance that will be paid to his children from the first marriage. That's their inheritance. They don't have to wait till stepmom dies. That was a very good use of life insurance. Another one, this person's been putting $1,000 a month into a policy for a long time. Minimum death benefit to pull out the money later tax-free. I figured out in her case that the cost of the insurance was about 2 to 3% of the cash value annually. Now her cap on the S&P 500 was 10. So if the S&P went to 10% that year, she received the full 10% credit. You give back 2 to 3% of that in cost, but that is paying for the death benefit. It's also, by the way, paying for the opportunity to have a vehicle that grows tax-free. Would you pay 2 to 3% in cost to have something completely tax-free? If you could say, you know what, I'll just give up my dividend on my S&P 500 mutual fund. You take the dividend. I don't want it. You guys keep it. But for that, everything is tax-free. We'd be lining up like a sale at Kohl's to sign up for that deal. That is a good deal. Again, think of things differently. We always think of life insurance. Oh my gosh, you know, it's all this insurance. It costs too much. I only need it if I have debt. I only need it if I'm young. I only need it if I have, you know, kids to put through school. No, there's a very, very viable use for it in retirement. And there's no real limits on what you can put in. There's no age restrictions on when you can take it out. It can be considered a mega Roth for some. I do this myself. I have a massively overfunded index universal life that's protected and projected to have tons of tax-free money when I retire. And oh, by the way, at 52 years old, if I die before I retire, there's this monster, millions and millions of dollars of tax-free death benefit that goes to my wife. She's not complaining about that. So it's a double whammy here. Tax-free growth, tax-free income for me in retirement and my wife. And oh, by the way, when I die or if I die early, she has all this money to have her own tax-free retirement. It's a great idea. It's a great plan for those that don't qualify to do a Roth. They make too much money. right? Or it's a way to supplement other income in retirement tax-free. I would encourage all of you to listen to my friend David McKnight's podcast, and it's over The Power of Zero. Look it up. Read the book, The Power of Zero. It really lays out. He has another book called Look Before You LERP, because he calls this a life insurance retirement plan, LERP. It's a good book. It really explains to people what you need, how to structure this, and what to look out for, because there's a lot of gotchas out there when it comes to these things. I also like having someone that's a fiduciary, like myself and others, that say, listen, I'm putting you in this policy because this is in your best interest, right? Because insurance policies, there is no fee-based model that I'm aware of. So there is commissions paid. Well, guess what? The way you structure a policy, your commissions can be really high or they can be really low. And which one do you think is better for you? It's when the commission is really low. So I'm always like bragging to my assistant to say, listen, I'm so like refreshed when you can just say, hey, here is a policy. It's extremely affordable. It's going to do all these great things for you in retirement. It's going to provide tax-free income if you want it, tax-free death benefits to your heirs. Oh, and by the way, the last idea of using this policy is to fund long-term care. Yes. These new policies that have been around for a few years also can be a triple threat: tax-free growth with tax-free retirement income, tax-free death benefit, and then also a long-term care benefit. So here's how it works. You have $1 million policy and you're 85 years old and you're like, man, I need my, you know, like, hey, we need someone to help out mom or dad or whatever, or you myself. And you can't perform two of your six activities of daily living. All right, they're called ADLs. So that's like transferring, bathing, eating, things like that. Or if you have a cognitive impairment, you have moderate to severe cognitive impairment, like dementia, right, or Alzheimer's, then you can go on claim. What does that mean? Well, it means that you can accelerate your death benefit tax-free. The policy that we use allows you to take up to 24% of the death benefit tax-free to use to pay for whatever you want to use it for. So let's say that that's $240,000 in the $1 million example, which, by the way, when my father-in-law had severe dementia and then Alzheimer's, and we tried to keep him at home, when we had 24-hour care and paying for electric and paying taxes on the house and just everything else, it was costing us about $140,000 a year to keep him at home. Well, that's price is not going down. It's going up substantially, especially, you know, with the lack of help and the fact that we have an aging population, that price is going to be double guaranteed in the next 10 years. So the index UL, you're like, hey, I can't perform two of my six ADLs. I have a cognitive issue. Boom, I'm on claim. The money comes to you. You can use it for whatever you want. You have a niece that wants to take care of grandma. Let her. She doesn't have to be certified. She doesn't have to be licensed. Let her take care of it. And by the way, she quit doing working, so you can pay her with that money. A traditional long-term care policy doesn't work that way. You must go to a skilled facility. You must go to a licensed provider, all of that. And it's more of a reimbursable situation, unlike this, where they just send you the money. Yeah, you have to recertify every year, but if you certify once, you're going to always certify. My mom, great example. My mom's suffering with dementia. And thankfully, my stepdad, John, takes good care of her. We have a caregiver that comes in a couple times a week. The kids will and grandkids will take mom on a Saturday to give John a break so we can go play some golf with his buddies. But she's getting worse, and her level of care will have to accelerate at some point, probably sooner than later. Well, a few years before my mom even turned 65, my brother Dan and I recognized the fact that my mom had been repeating herself. Maybe she was just very forgetful. And we like, you know what, we should buy a policy for her like what we have, which is this life insurance, because we know we have a 1-in-1 chance of dying. So someone's going to benefit from it. That's another reason to have this type of policy over a traditional long-term care, because traditional long-term care, you pay, the house never burns down. It all goes to waste. Long-term care is the same way. You pay, you never use it, you lose it. That's why these are so much more attractive. So we bought it for my mom. We haven't yet exercised the benefit. We're using other resources, but at some point we may exercise it. So when I talk to you about these things, it's not stuff that's rhetorical, hypothetical. It is absolutely real. It's stuff that we're doing ourselves. And lastly, everyone's like, oh, that's almost too good to be true. Most people don't know about this. Most people don't understand the most sacred tax code of all, which is tax code 7702, which discusses the tax-free treatment of life insurance. It's rarely talked about or discussed in how we are going to raise more tax revenue in Washington. We've heard a few times about taxing the buildup of the cash value before, but it has had no legs at all. This is the most sacred of all tax codes, tax code 7702. How do you exploit it? How do you take advantage of it? You need to understand it. You need to talk to someone that gets it. So if you, yes, you, would like to talk about how we can help you navigate these complicated issues, including how to benefit from using life insurance in retirement, please go to cfci.us, contact us to set up your complimentary call, or give us a call at 812-334-3190, and we will make it happen. Have a great one, everyone. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The clock is ticking. Each decision that is made today will put more money into your pocket or leave you worried about your financial future. The time to prepare is now. The time to eliminate risk was yesterday. Let's partner to help those around us to make decisions that empower their financial future. If you would like to book David for a speaking event, please contact CFC at cfci.us. You can purchase his book, 2025 The Final Drive, by going to www.cfci.us and clicking on 2025 The Final Drive.